What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. This is Kevin Scarrett, and I am with Amy Zander. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Very good. So what are we talking about today?
We are answering the question, what is a brand ambassador? So to put that very simply, a brand ambassador is someone within a company who always has the business's brand at the top of their mind. Like they notice when something is done well and within brand, and they will also point out when something is off brand or like not quite right. So the term brand ambassador for me invokes an image of like a sheriff with a big badge that reads brand, walking around an office, keeping things in order. Oh, and then like I also picture this person with a really big hat on.
20-gallon hat.
Right, exactly.
Big badge.
Yes, yes.
Okay. I can go with that. I don't know if I want to actually... Get said hat. Okay, I'll take the hat.
Maybe okay. Not the badge. All right.
Sounds good. So I think that everyone needs a sheriff, if not an ambassador. They definitely need to have someone who is looking out for the brand, for sure. But let's be clear, this is not generally a title that is given out to people, the sheriff, but brand ambassador can be. So whether it's a title or not, what we're really talking about today is the mindset of being a brand ambassador. And the quirky thing that most people, prior to going into this process of building a brand within a company, that they're completely oblivious to is that your brand ambassadors are not necessarily the people who you assign to be the brand ambassadors. In fact, the most powerful and most efficient ones are the ones that just kind of emerge out of the process. And so we'll be talking a bit about that. So it's kind of cool that it is definitely a mindset. So generally, the more people that you have in your organization who are always thinking about brand, then the stronger your brand will be. So ideally, Amy, how many people in your organization should be thinking about brand?
All of them.
All of them.
Right.
Okay, so the brand ambassadors can be anyone. Ideally, it should be everyone, but that just really reality is that never happens. So there are just a few things that are required to have the correct mindset to be an brand ambassador. So if you want to jot these down. Number one, they have to have an interest in brand. If they're not interested in it, they don't see things. Pretty obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
They, number two, have to have the mindset of paying attention to things. We all get super focused on the task at hand, we're building a widget or we're, pounding on a keyboard or we're, out in the factory floor doing our thing, whatever our job is. But if you pay attention to everything that's going on around you, those people will be the ones who catch the things that are off. And the third thing is they have to have the authority to take action. And that action might be as simple as just reporting it to someone or, putting a private message into a suggestion box or something like that. There has to be some way for the person to take action. Ideally, it would be a very public and outward action because, hey, finding out things that aren't going on very well, that should be a mindset. That should be a part of the corporate culture, right? So let's say someone is assigned to be a brand ambassador. You know, sometimes that'll be a person in the marketing department, or it'll be a higher level person like a senior vice president of brand or marketing. Someone can be assigned the task of overseeing brand, but sometimes being too high up the chain kind of removes you from the process. You're removed from the day-to-day operations where things are actually happening. You know, how often will a senior vice president review every piece of marketing material that's generated by the marketing department, right? You know, the person who's in the department, who's pushing the pixels around creating these things, they're probably best adapted to see errors as they're happening on the fly, right? So it seems like, to me, like the closer the person is to the ground level, that the more issues that they'll be able to identify. But it really doesn't matter where they are in the corporate structure, as long as they have those three attributes, that they have an interest in brand, they have the mindset of paying attention, and they actually have the authority to take action. So it can be a role, that role can be assigned to anybody, but more often than not, the person that's assigned is not always necessarily your best ambassador, right?
Yeah, like you said earlier, sometimes they kind of just emerge from the fold or show a particular aptitude for noticing these things. So right. I just want to throw out kind of an example. So say you're a mid-level size business, you know, you've got 20 to 100 employers or something, and you guys put out a new brochure or a rack card or something like that, and it's created, and then there might be somebody in the company that takes a look at it and says, you know, I know that we're the mother archetype, but it seems like this copy could be a little bit more motherly, or maybe we could have picked a different image or something like that, or, mm-hmm. you know, there's that kind of things. And then there's also, you know, recognizing how people are answering the phone or, you know, just interacting yeah. with clients or things like that. There can be major things like an actual printed marketing piece, or just things about subtle like company culture. And one of the things that's super important, like you said, is that there has to be a way for people to report these things or make the suggestion, which has to do with a lot with culture or the processes put in place. Like, hey, we want to know these things. We welcome you suggesting these things or pointing these out to us. Like, not, you know, making sure people don't, you know, they know that they're not going to be like reprimanded for bringing these things to people's attention. So.
Right. And I'd even throw in another layer. You know, great that you pointed out that a person who is recognizing something on the fly, or, you know, the small things and the big things are, you know, the small things sometimes are more important than the big things. You know, the big things are easy to pick out, but sometimes just a piling up of a bunch of small things can do just as much or more damage than having one big gaffe. You know, a big gaffe is real easy to see, and it's easy to, you know, it's easy to tackle it head on, but having hundreds of small gaffes happening all the time, you just get consumed by little fires. Bad timing there, but yeah, you get my point, right?
Right.
Another layer I'd throw in there, though, is there's a difference between an operational process of identifying brand errors by the brand ambassador, kind of on the fly, we were talking about, like the brochure, right? Versus recognizing that something was done in the past should be redone, fixed, right? Because most companies who go through this process of trying to build a new brand, if they do it intelligently, they will build in these processes and modify their operational procedures and have new review processes that get built in to identify brand errors, right? Well, if you have employees who are saying, hey, you know, this brochure that we created 3 years ago is really terrible, and we haven't created a plan to fix that, that's a really great tack to take, but you have to think about it, right?
Yeah, that's a great point. And sometimes what happens, or typically what happens with us when we work with a client when we're doing a brand or rebrand process, is mm-hmm. that from the beginning, like you or I, we become the new sheriffs in town for the moment, right? So
it's
our job to point out all the things that they've been doing in the past. Like you said, okay, here's this brochure. Maybe your mm-hmm. logo can be tweaked that way. Let's look at your header, your envelopes, how you put your envelopes, how you print your envelopes, just all the things. We go through all the
things.
Yeah.
And not everybody who's going to be listening to this is going to hire us. I say that with much sorrow, but the reality is there are going to be people who try to do this on their own, and that's totally okay. Yeah. Just make sure that you think about this stuff, right?
True, true. Like looking at everything you've done in the past. So, so like we get hired on to help people. It's our job to bring everything into an alignment. But then what happens when all the consulting work is done and the client is now on their own, or like you said, is trying to do it from the beginning on their own?
Right. Yeah. So that is true. We typically work with clients for anywhere between 3 and 9 months to not just get the ball rolling and to do this big review up front as part of the engagement, but we stick with them to get them through the rebranding process, to get everything in order. We give them as much help as they want or need. And just so our listeners know, we don't abandon anyone until they're actually ready, you know, where we formally boot them from the nest, as the mother bird would do.
Right.
But we can stay on much longer, and we are always available to be engaged if needed in the future, especially for more complex corporate structures and more complex brands. You know, if we have a company that has a parent brand and they have 18 products underneath it, then the brand management process is quite a bit more difficult, right? But when we're done with the project, it's important to the business, that they have people within their own organization. They shouldn't see us as the only sheriff in town, and now that we fixed everything, we don't need a sheriff. Yeah, that's not the right way of thinking about it. And of course, we would teach our clients that, you know, that they need to kind of seek out, assign people to make sure that there is accountability and responsibility, but to seek out those unexpected evangelists and ambassadors as well, right?
Absolutely.
So there's a great quote from Hippocrates that says, before you heal someone, ask him if he's willing to give up the things that made him sick. So interesting quote, right?
Mm.
Well, if a person or a corporation, more particularly, has a bad brand, why do they have a bad brand? What, you know, the bad brand being equated to being sick, what, in your mind, Amy, what causes a let's say, a 10-year-old company to have a bad brand?
Well, I think in most cases, it's not necessarily that they have a bad or negative brand. It's that they don't really have a strong one at all, or they don't
right.
have a marketing branding plan and a focus, and like what we would say, an archetype picked out and selected in a focus. So that's the majority of the people that I see, is that they don't strongly
right.
have a brand at all.
They don't have a plan.
Right.
They don't have a process. They've never, those are the things that made them sick. Right.
Right.
So if before we can help someone, they have to be willing to give that stuff up. They have to embrace an idea, whether it's archetypes or some other idea that works for them. But, you know, we think archetypes is the easiest and the most powerful. But if they embrace this new idea, then the next step is integrating it into their operations and building a corporate culture around it. And I think that that's where people who we work with have the potential to fail, is if they don't take that seriously enough. They don't follow through. They're not actually willing to make substantive changes to the way they've always done things in a way that's meaningful, right?
Yep, absolutely. And you do a really good job of having that conversation with potential clients up front and explaining that so they know, quote unquote, what they're getting themselves into, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
got to go in with eyes wide open.
Right,
it's just not going to work.
Absolutely.
Waste of everybody's time and a waste of money, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so you've gone through the brand process with a company. They're on board. They're drinking the Kool-Aid. And we've identified some people that are just coming out of the woodwork as being really good at recognizing brand and that kind of thing. But we've also made the announcement that everybody should really be kind of paying attention to this stuff and be on the lookout for it. So, Kevin, you have some really good ideas and fun ways that companies can motivate people to be vigilant about brand and to identify those who those ambassadors might be. Can you tell us about a few of those ideas?
Yeah, sure. I think that the key word, you know, when you talk to a marketing person, especially a social media marketing person like yourself, like me, if you ask them what is it that is the sign that you're succeeding, and I think the one clearest answer that is the easiest answer to understand, but then it's the easiest answer to follow through on and figure out, are we actually succeeding, is have we created engagement? Would you agree with that?
Yes, 100%.
Because if you don't have engagement in marketing, then you probably don't have marketing.
Right.
Well, I would say the same thing applies to brand. If you don't have an engaged employee base who are engaged in making sure that your brand is that people within the organization stay true to brand, if they're not engaged in that process, it's very, very hard to make changes. If not impossible, right? So there are some things that before you even start this process of trying to have brand ambassadors, there are a bunch of steps that, not just a couple of steps that need to be taken. And real clear, this is outlined in the book. This is a part of all of our process because they're critical, right? So the first is training. You know, we can be engaged, we can do the consulting, we can go through the archetype process and, you know, create word lists and draw on whiteboards and talk about operational fixes, and we can do all that stuff. But until the employees of that company are trained, it's very hard to get consistency where everybody's singing from the same song sheet, right? So the goal with the training, and the training should be done for all employees, including new employees, incoming employees, because if we do the training this week and you have three new hires next week, you don't want them to be floating around trying to figure out what everybody's talking about, right? So all training, all employees getting trained and all new employees getting trained is super important. And if you train all your employees, that means that your future as of yet unidentified brand ambassadors that have not yet been identified, they're actually in that group. And this sets them up to understand what is it about brand that we should all be looking out for, right?
Yeah, the beauty about all this, if people are listening and they're like, oh, that sounds like a lot of training and a lot of work. Yeah. The beauty about it, though, is that because brand archetypes is so ingrained in all of us and we all understand all 12 of them or whatever, it doesn't take very much to just succinctly explain to people, we're this archetype, this is what it means, this is the message that we're putting out, and everybody always gets it immediately because you inherently know these things. So we're not talking about, you know, hours of training and renting a conference room and all this other stuff. We're just kind of talking about having a conversation at least around the brand, right?
Yeah, I actually have a funny story. Had a company. They're no longer in business. This is about 15 years ago, and it was a tech company that got bought up by another large tech company. But at the time, they were a mother archetype, and their tagline was "Always here." Which, you know, kind of reinforces the idea that we're here to help you, we're here to, you know, hold your hand through the process. It's a complex technology bit, right? So the ambassadors popped up, and this is probably one of the more powerful instances where there were at least a half dozen people in the company, probably about 40 to 50 employees. And which is a beautiful thing. Awesome to see so many people who are not just able to understand what was being asked of them, but to follow through. And it showed a great corporate culture, right? But of course, and I see this as actually a good thing, the people who were not quite so engaged, and especially the engineering staff who put in long, long, long hours, they really kind of glommed on to, yeah, always here.
Right.
Yeah. So, the brand idea for the customer was quite a bit different than some of the mocking, the internal mocking that the brand got on the inside. But it was tongue-in-cheek, and they understood exactly what was supposed to be put out there, right?
Right, okay. Yeah.
So, after the training, your company should review all of your operations and build in processes to make sure at every step of the development of your product or service that your brand is being tended to, especially with products, right? If you're generating product and, you know, you've created packaging and you've created marketing materials and the product design itself and, you know, how it's marketed in both traditional and social media, there's tons of brand opportunities and tons of places where your brand can fall down. So your operation needs to, at every point, double and triple check. Are we on brand? Are we on brand? Are we on brand? It's nothing more sad than to see that not happen after this process, and then some big rollout of a product, you know, where 100,000 units are produced, and then someone says, wow, yeah, the messaging on that front label is really bad. And everyone agrees after the fact. You know, it's just money down the toilet. So, and the big idea, the third thing that really needs to happen before the brand ambassadors kind of emerge, is you have to have that corporate culture where reporting things is allowed. If in the company that I was referring to, the tech company, the fact that there were six people that popped up as brand ambassadors over the course of just a very short period of time, just a few weeks, is a kind of a testament to the quality of their corporate culture. I have found that if you work for a company, or if you're the owner of a company where employees are afraid to say anything out of fear of retribution, that it is tough to find those ambassadors. If you need to kind of reshift and reorient your corporate culture before you even begin this process, that's probably time well spent. So you've started this process, you've done some training, you've adjusted your corporate culture, your operations. Now, really, I'm going to finally get around to answering your question, Amy. So what are some things that we can do? So you don't want the process to just fade away. So you have to have, you know, ideas that are meaningful, that are able to be implemented on an ongoing basis to get the ball rolling and to keep the ball rolling. I've found that giving employees incentives, certainly initially in that first thrust of trying to find all your errors, that's great. But on an ongoing basis, if you give out things like gift cards and lotto tickets and time off and free lunches and, you know, any kind of incentive that is meaningful to the employees, they're going to be more prone to find things and identify, point them out, right? Having contests for trying to find things, or constantly reminding people. I think a couple of episodes ago, we talked about a company here in Michigan that made a steel, had it fabricated. It was a kind of a Spartan's helmet, a warrior's helmet, and had it sitting in the middle of their conference room as a constant reminder of their brand, you know, the focus of their brand. You know, it doesn't have to be fabricated steel helmets, but, you know, it could be posters or little signs or sticky notes on computers, anything that's going to, on a regular basis, remind people, incentivize them, and give them reason to improve the brand on a regular basis. So the more creative you are, the more fun you can be, you know, the more engaged, you know, going back to that original comment, the more engaged you can get your employees to be about brand issues, the better your brand will be.
Absolutely, Kevin. These are great ideas and a fun way to bring teams together too.
Go team.
I think too, anytime you can make something a contest, like competitiveness kind of brings out, you know, a mm-hmm. different edge with people and makes things more fun, or people tend to get more engaged when there's something on the line. I mean, even if it's just simply like bragging rights, right?
Right. Yeah. You know, how about this, you know, gift cards to Subway or dinner out with your significant other at this really, really fine restaurant. And those are the two options. Everybody's going to get one or the other, but you split the entire organization into red team, blue team.
Right.
And then one team gets the big meal out, and the other gets the free subs.
Right, so everybody gets something. Yeah.
Everybody wins, yeah. But, you know, it's definitely motivation to work. And, you know, that, you know, they, when you pick up that whole red team, blue team thing, you know, it's, you're right, that little bit of healthy competition is a good thing.
Yeah. And these are all like simple things that companies can implement easily to make thinking about marketing and your brand a fun process, or at least keep it top of mind all the time. And so if this discussion to our listeners, if this has you intrigued about your brand and who your brand ambassadors might be in your company, you can always take our free brand archetypes questionnaire and have your teammates take it too and see which archetypes stand out and then start the discussion about rebranding.
You can, that's right.
Yeah, you can find that at brandarchetypes.com. That questionnaire, it's free. As many people can take it as you want. And oftentimes that's a really good way to start a good team discussion about your brand.
Right. And as always, Amy and I are always here to facilitate your brand discovery process. You know, we say this a lot, and I fear that people will hear this and hear me talking about how we're willing to help facilitate, knowing that we are consultants, right? That is, oh, it's going to be really expensive. No, really, truly, Amy and I would love to have conversations to get the ball rolling and to make sure that we're a good fit and to give you guidance up front before the clock starts. We are happy to learn more about your business and your journey. And if you think that you have, you know, what it takes to be a brand ambassador, or if you think you need one, and you have no idea where you are in the brand development process, and you need a little bit of guidance, just speak up. We're more than happy to help. So,
absolutely, yeah.
Throw that out there.
Yeah, I always tell people, like, my goal with brand archetypes is basically like world domination. Like, as many people as I can tell about the brand archetypes process as possible, because it's really a very quick and simple and powerful way to get your brand under control and focused.
Hear, hear.
And as many small, medium, large companies that we can help do that, we're happy. So absolutely, like, I agree with you. I love talking about this, and we're definitely willing to have conversations, as you said, before the clock starts. I like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So, and like we said, you can contact us through our website at brandarchetypes.com or through any of our social media platforms. They're all at Brand Archetypes. And we would really love to hear you. Don't be shy. Speak up. Be that brand ambassador. Tell us if you're the sheriff in town. We want to hear it.
Okay. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get over the sheriff metaphor.
I don't know.
You like it. I like it. Yeah. I like it a lot. It's very, and especially the hat that I'll be wearing is very gesture.
So I'm going to say, you have to find a hat and give and put a picture up with your hat.
Yeah. There we go.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, Amy. Yep. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a great week. Bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.